Good morning.
Morning.
Is it still summer? Well, I think it's going to warm up again. I think it's going to be a little bit slower today than they said it was going to be, which is okay.
We're getting the 80s today.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Sun came out. Who knows? Take a moment with Unity's prayer of light. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. Does anybody have any questions or points of interest you'd like to bring up before we get into today's material? Okay. This week and probably next week, it will be dealing more with the physical body, this vehicle that we have chosen to live in. It's very emphatic in some ways about not denying the physical world, and not denying that as being a part of our learning. You know, so that we, the body that we took on is part of our learning, the vehicle that we took on is part of our learning, the people and places that we encounter along our path are part of our learning as well. In fact, everything we run across is something that we in some ways have pre-programmed to learn, and not micromanaged so much, but let's say if one of the major lessons that I have learned or I'm supposed to be learning in this lifetime is, let's say, to love myself, then many of the people that I meet and many of the circumstances that I come across in life will be, I guess it's okay to use this word, will be challenges in that respect. Can I approach this with the idea or the sense of self-love rather than self-blame or guilt or shame or self-loathing or whatever other, you know, pocket of influence my mind might flow into? I remember my buddy Ram Dass was talking about this one time, and he was talking to a spirit by the name of Emmanuel, and he said, "Emmanuel, you know, I don't really get it. You know, I'm sort of surrounded by these unenlightened beings, you know, who are certainly not as sharp as I am, okay? And they seem to keep getting in my way. And I also seem to keep running into all of these issues that seem to be so irrelevant but are awfully bothersome." And Emmanuel replied to him, he said, "Ram Dass, you're in school. When are you going to decide to take the curriculum?" Mm-hmm. Actually, the curriculum that you already created, right? And he said, at that moment, I kind of finally got it. I said, "Oh, I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm here." And and once we get to this particular point in our lives, I think the kind of work that we're doing here, we realize that it's not just the personal me that's doing this. You know, I'm kind of gritting my teeth and saying, "Well, I got to do this because dot, dot, dot." But that in some way, if we realize or just beginning to realize the light that we are, the love that you are, the essence of who you are, you're beginning to realize that what we are doing is we are actually adding to, for want of a better word, our language kind of breaks down here, but we are adding to the essence of love. This thing we call God is love, right? is an infinite energy, but it's also an infinite energy that somehow or another can be enhanced, that can be added to. And we are part of that. Yes?
Oh, it just reminded me of my mother is 100 years old and lives on her own, does very well.
Can you give her the microphone, please?
Oh, sure.
This notion of education, life is education, reminds me of my mother recently was asked, how is it that she could live this long? She's 100 years old. And she said, I think I've been ready for a long time to go. She said, but I guess I'm just not ready to take the finals yet.
That's beautiful. You know, that you know when they say, oh, this is a test from God, right? Is it a final? Right? Or that wonderful one-liner from Richard Bach's Illusions. If you want to know if your task here in life is finished, if you're still here, it's not. Okay? And again, we can greet that with dismay or anger or lots of other kinds of emotions, or kind of like your mom did in a very friendly, funny, and yet very realistic way. Okay? I'm ready, but I guess I'm not yet. Okay? And that's all right. Hopefully I can be in that same place when I'm 100. That would be a wonderful, wonderful gift to be able to approach life in that kind of loving sort of way. I'd like us all to close our eyes for a minute and do a little meditation as we enter into a kind of a little bit of a different realm of thinking here. A couple of breaths. Gently become aware that you have a body with all of this stuff that's going on with it. And if you were to just sort of step aside a little bit and notice that you have a body, but you are not your body. You are more than that. You don't have to define it. You just have to be aware of that. I am more than my body. And then you can notice that you have feelings and emotions. And there might even be a few of those that are rocking around inside this morning. And you can say to yourself, you can remind yourself, I have feelings and I have emotions. But I am not my feelings, I am not my emotions, I am more than that. And again, that's not denying anything, it's just being open to a larger reality. And then if you step back again for a moment and notice that you have a mind, you have thoughts. And again, you can say to yourself, I have a mind, I have thoughts, but I am more than my mind, I am more than my thoughts. And so for these moments or so, we are standing in that more of us, that aspect that is more than my body, more than my mind, more than my feelings. And we're going to let that aspect of ourselves travel to this place we were before we incarnated in this particular body. When I say place, I don't necessarily mean a physical place, but a state of awareness that we were in before we incarnated in this particular body. And as we were deciding to come here to planet Earth, we created an agenda for ourselves. There were some things we needed to clean up from other lifetimes. There were also some things we desired to enhance. And there were also some aspects where we realized when we participate in them that we can add to this essence of being called love. All of those are choices that even though we fell into forgetfulness, they are still part of our journey, part of our trip, part of our learning, part of the classroom we've created. And to get a sense of what it would be like, you don't have to be really particular about any of this, but get a sense of what it would be like just to sit with that notion, with that understanding. And notice the tendency that we have here on planet Earth is in relationships or in circumstances of our lives, we tend to create stories around all of those. And once we create a story, we begin to believe that it's true. And once we begin to believe that it is true, it sort of becomes true for us. And we become all wrapped up in the stories we've created. Many times we become so attached to the story, we miss the learning or the lesson. And so we can choose at this moment to release some of the unnecessary stories we've been telling ourselves and be open to whatever learning we need to do in order for us to move on. To release, to let go, to learn, to love, to embrace. To release, to let go, to learn, to love, to embrace. To release, to let go. And then take a couple of breaths when you're ready to. Stretch a bit. And you can open your eyes when you're ready. It is said of the Buddha, when he had his enlightenment experience under the Bo tree, that he got in touch with all of his previous incarnations, especially the ones that had something to do with becoming enlightened. And the first one that he remembered was he was an ox in living in Hades, living in torment. And he was standing next to another ox, and a demon was just about ready to smash this ox over the head with this flaming piece of stick. And what Buddha did in this particular incarnation was he pushed the ox out of the way and took the blow himself. And that was the beginning of his awareness or enlightenment. It didn't all come to fruition until many, many lifetimes later, when he was sitting under the tree and saying, I'm not moving until I get a sign of what this whole thing is all about. But that's where it began. Each one of you in this lifetime has made engagements with other people that you have mutually agreed upon that were actually made prior to incarnation. So if you ever wondered why somebody showed up, guess what? Not only did you make a deal with them, they made a deal with you. So there's, you know, it's not just, this is not just one-sided, there's learning that goes on all, oh, we're on page 325. Top middle. This book, in fact, was contracted prior to Paul's inhabiting this form. He knew it, but he didn't know it for real until it started coming through. Then it was a memory of understanding, and the pieces of the puzzle made sense. You each have things in your life like this, and you also have engagements with others that you have brokered on a higher level. Some of these have been in business, some of them have been in love, some of them have been the most painful experiences that you have undertaken. If you understand, first of all, that when you come here to learn. And when you come here, you have unfinished business from previous incarnations. You can quite simply begin to understand that as you move through this life, you will have recurrent patterns and relationships that are provocative and are meant really simply to move you out of your comfort zone and into a new level of awareness. I guess one of the simplest ones that I might key in on here is moving from victim consciousness to let's say claiming your power as a divine being, or at least beginning to realize that. Okay, being a victim of circumstances. Woe is me. Ain't it awful? When two old people get together, they have an organ recital. Okay. You got that. You think that's bad. And so, you know, we are beginning to remove ourselves, not saying we don't get caught in that once in a while, right? But we're beginning to remove ourselves from that, from making that into a reality. All right? Of saying, wait a minute, there's much more that I am here. There's much more than you, that you are here, right? And I'm not going to play that one. I played that one to its hilt, right? I don't need it anymore. Neither do you. Now, I might not say that out loud to somebody. What I might say is, you know, this is really kind of depressing. Let's change the subject. Let's talk about we can talk about old times. We can talk about some good movies you've seen recently. Have you read any good books? And you know, I'd much rather focus on that than focus on what ills you or what ills me, right? Or, you know, past experiences that we can't change.
So, Jerry, can I ask you something?
Sure.
It says, when you come here, you have unfinished business from previous incarnations. Is that a given that everybody has been here before, or been through another life or two?
Pretty much so, yeah.
Really?
What one of my teachers says is, you know, there are various planes of existence that we can incarnate in, maybe even other planets or other worlds or other galaxies, you know, that have a very different framework of connection with matter or interaction than here on planet Earth. However, I think most people who have studied this probably much more than I have would pretty well say, yeah, we've been here fairly often.
I mean, I've met people that I thought they've been here before.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's almost like we can. There are some people who show up as what I call old souls.
Yeah.
Okay. that young girl, Afghanistan girl, Malala, right, who won the Nobel Peace Prize, who was shot by the Taliban.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an old soul. I mean, that's so obvious, because this doesn't happen with a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. All right. Or a 13-year-old at that particular time, that has that level of forgiveness and that level of understanding and that level of saying, I not only am I not going to let that stop me, I'm going to create a whole new paradigm here. Mm. So that, you know, there certainly are people that we can sort of step back and recognize that, okay? And I guess what we're saying to ourselves here is, in some ways that's a nice piece of information. But in some ways, it really doesn't matter, right? What matters essentially is how I am handling whatever comes along for me. I can look at that as being karma. Oh, that's why so-and-so showed up in my life, right? You know, maybe I did that to them in another lifetime. Now that's why they're doing it to me, right? That could be or could not be. But spending a whole lot of time really trying to figure that out, I think, is sort of a waste. I think what they're getting into here is the realization that our picture of life, or my picture of life, is so tiny compared to what the whole thing is all about. Right? That if I just begin to realize that I have been here many, many times, I go, oh, okay, well, you know, that means, why am I clinging to this one? The example they gave in Buddhism, and I sometimes find this very difficult to take, but somebody asked Buddha, how many times have I been here? And the Buddha said, imagine a mountain a mile high and a mile wide and a mile long. And every 100 years or so, a raven flies over this mountain with a silk handkerchief and rubs it over the top of the mountain. When that mountain disappears, that gives you an idea of how many times you've been here. And I go, oh, shit. Now, hopefully that's a metaphor, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you've been here a lot. Or, you know, we've lived here, we have incarnated many times to learn many lessons. Sometimes because we didn't learn whatever it was we were supposed to learn, this is a part of our life is a makeup, what we sometimes call karma. Karma is, and that can be positive or negative. Most of the time we look at it in kind of a negative way, but karma is essentially what we have in a negative way, it's what we haven't finished and what we need to finish. In a positive way, it's kind of where our creativity flows from. Not necessarily in terms of attachment, but let's say an attraction to music, mm-hmm. or an attraction to another being or something like that. Okay, which is in some ways a very, very positive thing. Yeah.
When you said clinging to this one, did you mean like someone that is taking forever to die, that people are wondering like why they haven't passed yet. Is that what you mean?
Well, sometimes clinging to this particular life form, this particular body, but also sometimes just clinging to this particular image of this is it.
Oh, what it looks like right now.
Right, of how small, of really how small this is compared to the enormity of the whole picture, which is...
Explain a little more, I don't get that.
Well, let's just suppose we think about that we've been here quite often, right? So that this particular lifetime isn't it. This isn't a definition of everything that is. And let's suppose they just begin to realize that there are many, many different forms or many, many different levels of incarnate. Let's suppose, you know, let's take these people who are the guides who are guiding this particular work. They've already said that some of us have been in material form and some of us have not. So all of a sudden I realize that there's this huge world of non-corporeal beings who have an interaction with us and maybe an interaction with, you know, a whole other set of beings someplace else, right? And I begin to realize that this picture that I painted of my life here on planet Earth, I wouldn't say is insignificant, but is certainly quite small in the midst of all of the other things that are going on here. All of the other possibilities. Does that help answer that?
I just had a friend who passed, and her issues were so seeable. She was addicted to food, and she had many, many health issues, and she hung on for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get why, and she had, you know, control issues, and you know, mm-hmm. she really clung to this life with every ounce of her soul.
Okay.
And for a long time, and the passing.
She needed the right people to show up so she could pass on.
And Colleen helped definitely with that. So, is that what you mean, Hope? Is staying that,
in part, yes.
Physical,
in part,
not
yes.
Trying to let go.
Yeah, but it's also much, much more beyond that too. But that's certainly a piece of it. Okay. Yeah.
Several years ago, I went to a woman who did past life regressions, and it was wonderful, very helpful. And she does not live here anymore. But I know that there are people here in the community who will do that. And so for people who are interested, would you happen to know of someone that you could refer anybody to?
Not offhand, but I can certainly find somebody for you. But again, the purpose of this is not to get lost in you know, was I Cleopatra, you know, or why do I have a big nose this lifetime, or, you know, whatever, you know, we get caught on. The idea is to realize that we are in school. And we are in a school, in a classroom, with lessons that we have preordained that we are going, that we desire or need to learn. Okay, and that we can either learn them or not. Right. You're gonna learn them sometime or another. So that, you know, if we can open ourselves up to more of, let's say, a loving understanding of what shows up for us in our lives. Whether that's a global picture or a personal one. And recognize that that's part of my... Sometimes a person might show up in our lives to know that we're not supposed to be attached to them. It could be somebody show up in my life, okay, and I can realize, well, you know, there's a very powerful attraction to this person, and the powerful attraction might be, yes, I've attracted this person in my life to know that they're not supposed to be part of my life.
How in the hell would you know that?
Huh?
You know.
How would you know that?
You know. You know.
You get the message.
Well, how long do you have to stay around that person to know that?
Yeah. Oh. They can be in your family too, right?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
They're some of my best teachers. I'm going to say all we're trying to do here. One of the things we're attempting to do here is to recognize that whatever I am holding on to as a picture or a definition of what life is, right, is much less than what it really is.
That's, now that I get that. I get that.
Okay.
Because I watched my sister do the same thing. And she gradually, she would close her eyes, and then she could hear you, and she would talk, but she gradually was shutting down. And through that process, I really got it, that it just takes a while to give this one up. The mortgage, the payments, the this, the that, the family members. It takes a lot of letting go to let go.
And for some people, for some people that might be true. For some people, it might be different. Okay.
Yeah.
In other words, they might have worked through a lot of that already. Okay. But again, to know that my understanding or my picture of life today is probably quite limited, as opposed to what this whole thing is really all about.
And you know, it's really a gift to watch somebody do that. It might be hard to watch somebody mm-hmm. go through the leaving process, but it really is a gift.
I agree.
It's an honor.
Totally agree. Yeah.
This section here where they're talking about reincarnation or whatever, is that the first time in this book?
I don't believe so. I think they've made reference to it very briefly, but this is the first time they've really gone into a little bit more
because
detail.
It's like if you're just reading through it and all of a sudden you see that, it's like, oh, stop, what? Where'd this come from?
No, I think they've talked about it before, but not in any kind of detail.
I have a personal story I'd like to share. I've lived in my present home or condominium for 20 years summer.
Talk louder.
I have lived in my present home or condominium for 20 years this summer. And about 9 years ago, a new board was elected, and there was a lot of shenanigans going on there. But anyway, as soon as the new board was elected, our first board meeting that the community went to, we saw these large binders on the table, and after the meeting continued, we were informed that the whole community at that time, which was only 10 years old, and some of the units were not like only 8 years old, were going to get new roofs. And there had been other disputes in the community before that. And it just so happened, and of course I'm telling this from my personal view, that one of the new people that had moved in recently, she was elected to the board, and everybody thought she was just so intelligent. She was an attorney and blah, 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 blah. And she also happened to be, and I just have to say it, she was a member of one of the mega churches you probably know in town, and we had several other of those people in our community. Well, I was one that I didn't mind maintenance or repairs if we needed something, and I had just been voted off the board. I was certainly for that, but I didn't think we needed all new roofs. But come to find out, her 26-year-old son-in-law, who worked for a company that I won't mention, got practically $500,000 bid for roofs that was not bid. So anyway, that's the gist of it, and it split our community. Now, thank goodness we didn't have anyone killed as other communities have done, but we did have to have people restrained in a board meeting from coming and socking someone else. So all this time, and I had, when I moved in my community, I had just gone through a 7-year divorce, and so I thought by that time that I had really learned lessons. I mean, I was open, and I being outspoken and on kind of on the other side of thinking from these other people who go to the mega churches, you know, we formed our groups and we hired attorneys and so on and so forth. And I was just outraged at this situation because these people who were supposed to be so Christian were doing this type of thing. And we had people in the community that actually had to move because they didn't have the funds. And we didn't get a good deal. We paid top dollar. And this was during the time that the economy was just beginning to tank. And so some people had to sell their units and move and so on. And this went on for quite a while. I mean, the board had the right, the way our bylaws read, that they had the right to go ahead and sign this contract, so we got the new roofs. But it really split our community, and I just kept thinking, okay, dear Lord, I've just been through this divorce. What is my lesson here? Why am I so angry? Because I was. I mean, I would go, I'm a walker, and I'd go walking, and I'd see people in the community I couldn't even speak to, because I just thought, well, how can you be this Christian and then do this to our community? So I kept asking, I said, dear Lord, what is my lesson? What is my lesson? I'm open to this. I've been through all this other. I know there's a lesson. Well, I didn't get anything. I kept thinking, well, am I too stubborn in my ways? Blah, 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 blah. Is it me? And I thought, no, I don't know. But so it went on. I kept asking for almost a year and a half to 2 years. And finally, one day, I was coming home from school, and we were going to have a board meeting that night. And they still weren't very pleasant, even though we had the roofs put on. And I was getting off the expressway, getting ready to go up to Gene Snyder, and I remember exactly where I was on the on-ramp, and telepathically I heard this message: you were a fundamentalist in another life. Now, you know what you put other people through, and I swear to you, that is the truth. And at that time, it just lifted right off my shoulders, and I thought, and as stubborn as I am, I must have been terrible to people. And that is the truth.
Thank you, Jesus. Right. Hallelujah. That's a great story. Okay, great story.
I know exactly where I was when I was turning, when I got that message. You were a fundamentalist in another life.
Not anymore.
Right.
And you'll never have to do that again.
Okay?
You know, it's very reminiscent of, this is sort of a very small thing about karma, but when Jesus was talking about judgment, you know, he said, you are trying to remove the speck from your brother's eye by not seeing the beam in your own. Okay. And so things, if we are open to it, what's the lesson here? If you spot it, you got it, right? 99 times out of 100, what you're going to be grappling with another person, in some ways, is going to be something about yourself that needs to be healed. It might be victim consciousness. I might be in victim consciousness to this person, and I need to get out of it. That could be a very quick, easy lesson, but might take... How long do I have to stay with this person to realize that I'm being victimized? A day? A week? A year? I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes a lot longer than that.
Two thoughts. How do you know when you need to be away from somebody? You know, in my lifetime, I've picked the wrong person several times and finally got to the point where my awareness, I don't pick those people anymore. So I don't think you know, you just know when it's time, you know, and that helps. And Colleen's comment about there's more than we know, the analogy I like to use is if you look at what the scientists say about the universe, most of the universe is dark matter, which means we don't know what the hell it is. And I think I look at the life we lead, what we can see, taste, smell, and experience is, I think, a minute portion of what's available, but we just don't have it. I don't know how to access it, you know. But I think, to me, that puts in perspective that, you know, I'm a very small part of a very giant thing that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Or that we, let's say we can understand with our thinking mind, with our intellect. Right? But see, what we are doing here every Sunday morning, you know, is we come in here and we deliberately allow ourselves in some way or another to be raised to a higher level of vibration. Right? Whether we understand that or not, okay? And, you know, I don't know what happens to you, but I imagine there are going to be times when, you know, we think about something, well, I got to figure this out, I get stuck on this, I don't want to strangle it, and I go, wait a minute, I think I'll let go of that. I think I'll let go of my need to intellectually understand this and just realize that I can take it in on a level beyond what my mind can grasp. and I will do that anyway. And so what we're doing there, or just doing with that simple choice, right,
it's under your chair.
Is changing the whole perspective that we are dealing with, including how we are looking at ourselves. I'm not looking at myself as being just a, what did Alan Watts call it, a skin-encapsulated ego, okay? I'm seeing myself as more than that. Now, I might not be able to define what that more is, but I can be open to a larger reality, even if I cannot define it. Yeah, John.
When we recycle, do we just have more, make a new agreement, or do we still have
do we
have old stuff when we recycle and come back and? Do we make another agreement, or we just have more work that we didn't finish? Or is there an end to that?
In our Christian tradition, which in the early stages did believe in reincarnation, but that got kind of erased in most of the original scriptures. But in the Christianity that most of us grew up in was that, you know, that was, this is it. Okay, you do good here, and you do nice things here, and you get to heaven, and then that's it, or you get to hell, and that's it, all right? Or you get to purgatory, and that's not quite it, but, you know.
You could go either way.
You go either way, you know. You're eventually going to get there, okay? Or, you know, the when I grew up, there was something called limbo.
Yes.
Remember that one? That's where babies went who weren't baptized. Or unbaptized people who were good people. Yeah, they were good people, but they got there. And limbo was sort of. But anyway, we stopped believing in that for some reason. So anyway, all those, they got cut loose, and they're all sort of. I was in limbo, and I'm now just kind of floating around out here, right, looking for a place to land.
It's black matter.
But most other traditions, traditions, especially in the East. Believe that we come here to learn, to grow, and as we begin to understand that God is not a monolithic entity sitting on a cloud someplace, right? That God is the essence of love, and that the essence of love is continually evolving, growing, if you will. It's one of those paradoxes that it's unchangeable, yet it's growing at the same time. Right. The mind cannot grasp it, and so don't worry about it. You can anyway, right? But it is. I believe it is. Right? And so that what we are doing here is, is we are choosing again on this higher level of vibration that we enter. We are choosing to add to that. I can choose to love this, or I can choose to hate it. I can choose to hold this in a higher vibration, or I can choose to hold this in a low vibration. Okay. To answer John's question a little bit more directly. What our agenda is for this particular lifetime is both cleaning up some karma, stretching ourselves, growing, adding to the essence of love, and probably the next lifetime we come around, we can do that again in a different way. I don't think I'm going to clean up all my messes in one lifetime. I've cleaned up a hell of a lot this lifetime, I'll tell you. I'm sure most of you have too. I think most of us, when we look back and say, boy, you know, I've kind of lived two or three times, you know, this time around, all right? So I think I've cleaned up a number of different messes for myself, which I'm very glad of, all right? But there are probably some more. In fact, I probably made some this lifetime. Not deliberately, but inadvertently I probably have, that I might need to clean up sometime or another, right? So, again, I don't want to get locked up or too locked up in that whole idea of other lifetimes too much, but to recognize what this is about. This is a classroom. This is school. And the lessons aren't being forced upon me. I've already kind of, in some ways, I've set my agenda. I say, yes, I'll clean up that one. I'll clean up that one. I'll clean up that one. And I'll enhance this one, I'll enhance this one, I'll enhance that one. And I'll grow in this area, and I'll grow in this area, and I'll grow in this area. Yeah.
I think that I had a vision once about that our life is like a holographic jigsaw puzzle, and that it's all contained within every piece, and you know, we try to assemble as much as we can, but it's all already there.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of years ago, I was this is related but not related. I was I kind of had a vision about video games, and that video games are a metaphor for our lives, you know, especially the avatar ones. We create, you know, we choose certain things. We say, okay, I want to be this, I want to be this, I want this to happen, and I'm going to go into this and see where I get.
So I have certain powers and I have certain flaws.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that we have, you know, and then at a certain point, you know, our life is over and we can do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So
the way Alan Watts put it, I don't know why he's on my brain today, but he said, life is like a game of hide and seek. Now God is one, and since God is one, he can't really hide from himself or herself, right? So he or she has to create disguises. And so God creates all of these different disguises, like Bill and Jerry and Hitler and Mother Teresa, and creates all of these disguises and puts them all in this place called planet Earth. And all of us are running around learning whatever lessons we need to learn, right, and doing this and doing that, and think we are kind of this small self, right? And then all of a sudden God yells, ollie, in free, and right, and we drop our costumes, we drop our disguises, and we all run back to the one, and we go, and then like being on a roller coaster, scared to death, and after it's over, let's do that again.
Yeah.
It's a marvelous little image. What are we here for? To grow, to heal, to love. To enhance, to evolve, all of the above. What would it be like if you and I, let's say at this moment, could realize the truth of who we are, the divine being that you are, the divine being that I am? There would be no need for anything else. There wouldn't be. Yeah. I thought I had a handle on that one. Not yet. But I believe that, you know, if you want to say, what if you want to get off the wheel, the Buddhists call it the wheel of samsara, right? Which is kind of continuing one lifetime after another, one incarnation after another. You want to get off the wheel, just realize who you are and step off the wheel. There's no need to do that again. Now, you don't do that by gritting your teeth. I'm going to discover who I am if it kills me. Okay? you can only do that, or what we can do, what you can do willfully, when you can do intentionally, is to get ready to receive that information. And how can you do that? I can get ready to do that by being more loving, by not being judgmental, by being open to whoever or whatever shows up in my life, and to approach or embrace that as an act of love rather than an act of hatred or anger or confusion. Time to go, grasshopper. Thank you all. We'll see you next week, okay? Oh, by the way, I need a I'm going to need a sub on the 24th of this month. So think about that. Peace.